Okay, so let's begin. So tonight we're going to sit on Yuma, the end of Maseches Yuma. Anybody here ever learned Yuma? The whole thing? Well, yeah, we got the only people. So if you've learned Yuma, you know that almost the entire Masechta is dealing with the Avodas of a Kohen, right? So it's not really relevant for us nowadays, except for the last Perek. It's kind of like Pesachim. Pesachim is the same way. Pesachim, except for the first Perek, most of the rest of the Masechta is irrelevant for us because it has to do with the Korban Pesach. So the same thing with Yuma. Yuma is mostly about the avodah of the Kohen on Yom Kippur. If you've ever done the Mishnayot, which some people have the minhag to do on the night of Yom Kippur, so then you know that most of it, except for the last parak has to do with the Inuyim, the Chameshes Inuyim, which is relevant obviously nowadays in terms of not eating, not wearing shoes. And the very last part is about Tshuva, which is what interests us tonight. What also is interesting about this parak is, for those of you who have also attended the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Shirim, the first four prakim of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva are all about Tshuva. After that, it gets a little bit different. Almost all of the material for those first four prakim of the Rambam come from these dapim. Right? You're going to see a lot of the stuff that we covered in that shir in these dapim and what we're going to learn tonight. And more, if we would keep learning past what we're up to, we would see almost all of what the Rambam says. So I remember while we were doing the Rambam Shirim, some people were like, well, where's he getting this from? You know, how does he know this? So we can kick that can a little bit further down the road and say, well, he's getting it from Chazal, from the Gemara. Of course, then the question just gets begged a little bit more, which is, where do they get it from? And then the answer is Pesukim. And we're going to see some of those Pesukim tonight. We're starting from Pei Vav Amud Beis, all the way at the top, the very first line. Just giving you some context, the Gemara right beforehand had some good stuff also. It was talking about, it introduced the concept of Tshuva Me'ava and Tshuva Me'ira, which is going to get expanded a little bit over here. We're not going to really drill down really deeply on any one sugya, because there's so much to do over here, but we do have the Makara sheets which are going to expand a little bit on some of the concepts that we're going to see, and hopefully through some discussion we'll get to some interesting conclusions. So the Gemara starts, this is Amar of Yochanan, the quote of Yochanan. It says, Gedola Tshuva Shedoche is lotase shavatora. It's a striking statement. It says tshuva is so great that it can even justify the violation of an avera, of a lotase. What lotase? So you stop there and you'll say, okay, fine. So I can do anything I want. And tshuva, right? That's not what it means. So the Gemara says shneamar lemor hein yishalach ish es ishto v'halcha meito v'hayta liish acher. Hayashuv eleha od halochanof techanefa aretahi vatzanit reim rabim veshuv elai neum Hashem. Long pasuk. Where's this pasuk from? You guys have the hyperlink? No.
Number one.
It's the aleph over there, right? If you have the hyperlink, it's the Torah or Shalim, which is on your sheet on the bottom. It's aleph on the bottom. You can see it right there. Hen lemor hen yishalach ish. That's unfortunate. Okay. The sofer is calling me right now. The sofer is calling me right now. My tefillin is obviously ready. And it's 8:40. No, it's an Achuz 88. And he's calling me right now.
To get it for tomorrow morning.
Your water is ready?
My tefillin. I gave it in this morning, and now it's ready tonight. But I can't go right now. That's unfortunate.
Do you want to find a check? You can get it straight off the ship.
If he calls back.
For the morning?
If he calls back, I'll do it. I want it for the morning, but it's late. The shir is going to finish 10 o'clock. I don't know if he's still going to be there. I don't know. Oh well. So this is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, right? From Yirmiyahu. And what's the context of the pasuk? This is talking about Hashem is yelling at Bnei Israel. And what does the pasuk actually say? What does this mean? Heni shalach ish es ishto v'halcha meito. Right? A man divorces a woman. He leaves. Vaita, and she leaves him. Vaita li ish acher. And then she
marries
someone else. Perfectly fine. Hayashuv eleha od. Can he ever return to her? So can he return to her?
No.
No, why?
Someone else, you can't come back to the original husband.
If a man divorces a woman, he can always remarry her, unless she remarried someone else. If he remarried someone else, then it's not an issue because he can marry multiple women. But if she marries someone else, then he can never return to her. She can never return to him, rather. Why do you think that is? To prevent swinging, right? A man divorces a woman, she goes and be with someone else, and then she comes back to her husband because she just wanted to have a fling with another person, right? So she can't do that. But, nevertheless, the pasuk says, Halochanof tichanefa aretzahi, Vad zanim zanita reim rabim. Hashem says to Bnei Israel, you did that. you left me, and you consorted with many other lovers, right, with other gods. V'shuv aleinu, Hashem, but you can return to me. Right? Literally, you've committed adultery with many lovers, and now you're coming back to me. But do we come back to him? We do. Hashem says, you come back to me. So in other words, what happened? We committed the violation. We divorced God, so to speak, and we went to other women,
relationship, right?
And then we were returning to God. But that's okay. It's okay, because that's tshuva. That's the lotase shabbat Torah, right? It's a metaphorical lotase, obviously. Metaphorical lotase shabbat Torah that Hashem says you can actually violate with tshuva.
Isn't the metaphor wrong? Because we got children, married to them, so to speak.
Well, obviously there's two forms of relationship at least, right? There are many forms of relationship between us and God. One of them is a marriage, right? We say that there was a chuppah. There was a chuppah at Har Sinai. There was kiddushin. There was nisuin. We learn halachos of marriage from Har Sinai. So there is that relationship. Now what's interesting is, if you turn to your sheets, we'll turn to them now. If you turn to the sheets, you'll see the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Pasuk in Yeshayahu on the other sheet says, Ki ko amar Hashem, eiza sefer kitut imchem asher shelachtia, o mi mino shay asher... I gave them both.
No, I didn't get...
Oh, I didn't get...
I didn't get one. Sorry.
Pasuk in Yeshayahu says that Hashem says to us, "Ko amar Hashem, eiza sefer kitut imchem asher shelachtia o mi mino shay asher mecharti etchem lohen ba'avonotechem nimkartem u'bishechem shulchan imchem." Basically, he says, "Eiza sefer kitut." He says, "Where is the get?" Right? That's what the Torah calls a get in the Torah. It's sefer kitut. He says, "Where is the get? There is no get." So you have a stira here. The pasuk in Yeshayahu says that there was never a divorce. There was never a get. Hashem says, "What are you doing? How come you've left me? There's no divorce." But the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that there was a divorce.
But technically, why do you need a divorce?
What do you mean?
It's just as bad as
you don't need a divorce. It's just that the pasuk in Yirmiyahu implies that there was a divorce.
But if there wasn't a divorce, it's still the same idea of pushing for love, because you, even without a divorce,
that's true. You can never return.
Goes to another man and then comes back to husband.
Yeah, that's also usher. That's true. You're right.
That's even worse.
Asur labal, asur labal. You're totally right. You're definitely right. I don't know why the Gemara even needs. Gemara could have said that anyway. It could have said, anybody who leaves God and goes to Me'ila, it's a. You're right. But how do we resolve the stira between the pasuk in Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu? Was there a divorce between us and God or not?
Well,
it
doesn't say so, because also it doesn't refer to sacred priesthood.
You're right. He doesn't mention a get, but he compares it to a woman who left her husband and married another man.
Does he say married?
He doesn't, but he does say it's usher to come back. So are you going to go with Robbie's theory that it's not actually a divorce? It could be that he just committed an act of zinus.
But is he using valid intention that he's talking specifically about what was happening then, or could be talking about Chet HaEgel or something? We left, we actually did something actively.
No, it would seem that they're talking about then, meaning it's Yirmiyahu yelling at them. They were
about what they've just done.
Yeah, they're going into Golus now.
Chet HaEgel, the metaphor is more an annulment than a divorce. So the tearing up of the ketubah, yep, and the snatching of the luchot.
Yeah, no, that was before, yeah. Right.
But
Rashi does understand the Gemara. If you look at the first Rashi over there, Lo Yuchal Ba'alaha Rishon, right? That's a reference to the pasuk in the Torah about Machzir Grishasa, that they get a divorce. So this is the assumption of the Gemara is that there's a divorce.
About this, the fact that there was a get, because if there wasn't a get, then going to this, leaving without a get and going to the second god, before you even come back to your original god,
it was
already committed in you're an Eshadish.
Surely, yeah,
right,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So you have to be talking about this stage where there is...
Rabbi would say, no, it's also usher to go back to God. It would also be usher to go back to God anyways, because asur labal, asur labal. If a man commits is an adulterous relationship, he or she, if a woman is in an adulterous relationship, she can't return to her husband either. That's true. But Rashi doesn't understand that. Rashi understands that it was a divorce. That's the standard shot over here. So if you actually look... in the next source on the sheet, this is a medrash in Eicha. Famous pasuk in Eicha, right at the beginning, right? First pasuk, Haita ka'almana, that we were like a widow. So there's many famous drashos on this, right? The Haita ka'almana, we weren't a widow, we were like a widow. So the medrash over here says, Rav Chama bar Ukva v'rabbanan, Rav Chama bar Ukva amar la'almana, shahaita tovat mizonoteha, v'lo haita tovat ktubata. She came to get her mizonoth, right? The support that her husband is supposed to give it to her, but not a ksuba. Rabbanan Aminan Lamelech Shekaas Al Machuna V'Katav Lagita. There was a king who got upset with his partner and wrote a get for her. Va'amad V'Chatfo Mimena, and then gave it to her and then grabbed it back from her so that she wouldn't be able to. No, not only that. Yes, that, but also.
Where's your get?
And it, which means that what won't she be able to do? She won't get the money from the ksuba, right? He gave her the get, and then he grabbed it back.
She wanted to remarry.
Yes, that's right. One thing is that you mentioned she wanted to remarry. Haya omer lahichan gitecha. People would say to her, "Well, we know you were married, so where's your get?" She wouldn't have it. On the other hand. She wanted to get, you know, support from her husband. But I divorced you. And you know I divorced you. So you can't get your money. So you're neither here nor there. Right? It's not a regular aguna. It's like a tricky aguna. Kach kol zman sheyisrael mevakshim la'avod avodas kochavim. Hayomer lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eiz hasefer kutitimchem. Hashem says to them, you can't go to the Avodah Zarah, you're still married to me. Kozman shem vakshim la'asos lahem nisim kevatchila. Omer lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu kvar gerashti etchem. Adah udichtiv shalachti avatenet sefer ketutei aleh. These are psukim in Yom Yad that we didn't read. It does say that there was a get. So as long as they wanted to come back, Hashem would say, well, you know, we divorced already. So we're kind of in this, we get in this limbo. So Hashem says the only way back would be to do tshuva, right? That's the only way to come back. Okay, so right in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yonasan. Rav Yonasan comes in, not Rav Yochanan, but Rav Yonasan. Gedola tshuva shemekareves es ha-geula. Tshuva is great because it brings close the redemption. Shneamar, uvat l'tzion goel ulefshavei fesha v'yakov. The pasuk that we read every single day. Matam uvat l'tzion goel, mishum tishavei pesha b'Yaakov. Why does the goel come to Tzion? Why does the Redeemer come to Tzion? Because people have done tshuva. Because Yaakov has done tshuva. Amar Reish Lakish, now comes Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is important here. Why is Reish Lakish important here?
He's the partner of Rabbi Yochanan.
Because Reish Lakish is one of the quintessential Baalei tshuva. Right? Reish Lakish, people don't realize he was a Jew, right? He wasn't a ger, right? He was a Jew who became a highway robber. Right. And then what happened?
And it was his Gemara in Brachos, right?
I don't think it's in Brachos. I'm not sure where it is. I don't remember.
He got captured by somebody and...
It was in the river. It was in the river with Rabbi Yochanan.
He robbed the wrong man. He robbed Rav Yochanan. They had an interesting conversation. He robbed Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan grappled with him. He didn't just let him take his money. Rav Yochanan said to him, no, he said to, Rav Yochanan said to, wait, who said first? He said to Rav Yochanan, you're very strong for a rabbi. And Rav Yochanan said, you're very beautiful.
No, Rav Yochanan is beautiful. Rav Yochanan is the beautiful.
Reish Lakish said to Rav Yochanan, you're very beautiful.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Reish Lakish said to Rav Yochanan, you're very beautiful. And Rav Yochanan said back, you're very clever, you can marry my daughter if you do tshuva. Mm. And that's what happened. Mm. Reish Lakish married Rav Yochanan's daughter. And what's interesting is that Rav Yochanan was described as being beautiful, that's because he was actually very overweight. Gemara in Brachos describes Rav Yochanan as being a baal basar. But at that time, being overweight was beautiful. Right? There are different time periods, different things are considered beautiful.
Yeah. I still have a chance.
The Gemara says Rav Yochanan was so overweight that he couldn't lie down properly for Kriyat Shema. He was allowed to lie prone because he couldn't lie properly on his side, so that because he was so overweight. And on the other hand, the Gemara says this famous Gemara, they used to stand in front of the mikvah, on the outside of the mikvah, and so the women would look at him when they came out, so the first thing that they saw was something beautiful, which the Gemara said would be good for having a beautiful baby, a beautiful child. So Rav Yochanan was considered a beautiful person. On the other hand, he was considered a baal basar. Now, maybe, I don't know, maybe he went on a diet. I don't know, that's also a possibility. You know, maybe he looked in the mirror one day and then decided, you know, but that's not the Pashtus. The Pashtus is that he was both at the same time.
So here's Reish Lakish saying the following statement about tshuva. Dola tshuva shes donos nasos lo kishkagos. First he says that your purposeful averos, right, your mazids, they become accidental. They became shgaga. Shneimar shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta ba'avonecha. What's the limud from the pasuk? Right. So this is an important statement, right? That all of your purposeful, unpurposed averos become like they were done by accident. So we like to throw that around. Where does it come from? How do you know that? So it comes from this pasuk. Why? Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem ki chashalta ba'avonecha. Return Bnei Yisrael to Hashem, because you have, what's kashalta? You have fallen, you have failed with your sins. Ha'avon mezidhu, v'kakari le'michshol. I don't understand. Avon is a lashon of, on purpose, of mezid, and yet it says, kichashalta ba'avonecha. It should be, kipashata ba'avonecha. Why kashalta? Because, ha'avon mezidhu v'kakari le'michshol, because that's the lima. The lima is that they become like
kishlanot,
exactly. They become like, oh, accidents, pitfalls, by mistake. But then the Gemara says, ini. What does ini mean? Whenever you see that like that? Ini means?
Really?
Is that true? Why does it mean that, by the way?
Because in is yes.
In is yes, so it means like, yes? They added yud over there and it changes it. Vaha amar Reish Lakish gedola tshuva shes donos nasos lo kischuyos. But Reish Lakish, the same person, said something else. He said even more. He said, your purposeful averos become zchuyot, like mitzvos. They become merits. So your averos become merits. What's the limit for that? Shneemar, ubishuv rasha mirishato v'asa mishpat utztaka aleim yichye. So they become tzedakah and mishpat. So which one is it? Is it they become kishkagos, or is it they become kischios? Because it's Reish Lakish, both of them. What is the answer that the Gemara gives? Lo kasha. Kan me'ahava, kan me'yira. If a person does tshuva me'yira, then they become kishkagos. If he does tshuva me'ahava, then they become kischios. Why? Why? What's the difference? Why does one of them make it kischios and one of them make it kishkagos?
You make them change for either positive or negative reasons. Ahava would be for a positive.
And therefore it becomes like a mitzvah? Your previous avera becomes a mitzvah? It was an avera before and now it's a mitzvah? Why is that fair?
Because you're doing it of your own free will as compared to out of fear for God, out of awe for God.
It's because what is the whole idea? The whole idea is that not even though you were a bad person, you did all these bad things, and you presumably enjoyed doing them, you were still able to overcome all that and become a good person. So the worse you are, the harder it is, the more you've got to climb to get out of it. Right. So it's the more effort, the more, and if you do that out of fear, that's one thing. Okay, you're scared, right? You're scared that God's going to punish you or something, so you do it. That's one thing. But if you do it because you suddenly realize what you're doing is wrong, and of love, you turn your life around. Then, like everything you've done bad, suddenly increases the value of what you're going to do in the future. Good.
So that's very, very similar to what the Et Yosef says. The Et Yosef, which is a commentary on the Ein Yaakov. So he says that because of your avera, you're now going to have a greater yetzahara going forward. Even right, a person it's striking. A person who doesn't sin, right? So, ironically, it's actually easier for him to not sin. It's not ironic, it's just the way it is. I've actually often thought that, you know, I haven't seen anybody say this, but, you know, the Eitz Hadas and what happened in Gan Eden. So it struck me that what does it mean that there was no Yetzirah, and then when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, all of a sudden there was a Yetzirah? So I thought, one could explain very, very simply. Imagine you have a child, this will never happen, imagine you have a child that manages to make it for the first 13 years of his life, let's say, without doing anything wrong. Somehow, his parents make sure he never does anything wrong. He never has a temptation. They sit there and make sure. Then he turns 13. He's never done anything wrong. If you were to put something in front of him that would tempt him, my guess is he wouldn't even be interested. Because he's never done anything wrong.
Everyone's got some kind of my Yetzirah is different
today. I agree.
Everyone's different.
I agree, but I think our Yetziraras are a product of our previous falling to that temptation. In other words, if you've never even, for example, if you've never eaten a cheeseburger, It holds no power over you at all. I have no interest in eating a cheeseburger. I have zero negative interest in eating cheeseburger or bacon or any of those things or lobster. No interest at all. It's hard for somebody who...
Yeah, but to have
I've spoken
a
to people...
Shave,
what?
Come on. But to have a wet shave...
What's a wet shave?
Proper...
Oh. Yeah. No, I'm not. Really? I don't know. I've never even thought about it.
That's what I would like to
say. I've never even thought about it. But no, but
eat
I...
cheeseburgers.
Speak though, to somebody... You speak to somebody who's a Baal Tshuva, or even somebody who's not even Shomer Torah Mitzvahs right now, so they'll say, how can you, you know, you've never had lobster, you've never had shrimp, oh, you don't know what you're missing, it's so good, how can you not have it? I'm not even interested. So I imagine to myself, you can't prove this because you're never going to have it, that if there was somebody who actually had not experienced anything, they would simply not have any interest at all. Maybe.
Sure,
and the moment that Adam Arishon did something, you know, but even more than the, because he's not interested, but also because it will never occur to them to actually do anything wrong because they've never done it before. That.
But it's impossible. It's an impossibility. It's impossible.
Probably. You're probably right.
It's like the principle of mitzvah goreret, mitzvah goreret, goreret.
100%. And the moment you do something wrong, two things happen. Number one, you find out that, oh, hey, that was fun. I want to do that again. But number two, you come to the conclusion, oh, wait, that's possible. Yeah, you see, I've seen stories about people who are chozer b'sheila, and they say the first time they were mechallel Shabbos, right, Rachmana Litzlan, they were petrified.
Yeah.
But they were petrified beforehand. They thought something would happen, and then it didn't. And then what do you expect? Then it just becomes.
I had a friend from work who every night he completely didn't do nothing. He grew up in a very frum household, and every night he said Kriyat Shema.
Yeah.
Every night, every single night to this day, he says Kriyat Shema.
And he's afraid to not.
That's the last thing for him to drop.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like that's part of it. And then once you realize that you can do it, so then it becomes easier to do it. And so for a Baal Tshuva, or for let's say for a person who hasn't committed the Avera, so his Yetzer Hara is much smaller. For somebody who has, it would be much, much greater. And Mitch Lufum Tzara Agra, according to the, you know, the effort, is the reward. If you look at the sheets for a second, the Maharsha, the third source on the sheet. So Amar David Chatati Nurai Upshaai Altiskor Kechastechazachar. David Hashem to Hashem, you know, I sinned, but don't remember them out of Chesed. Ritzon Lomar Achar Shasa David Tshuva V'Kibel Alav Yisurin B'Maaseh De Batsheva. Right, David sinned with Batsheva. Yeah, I know the Gemara in Ksuba says that he didn't sin, but Pashta says David thinks that he sinned. So after he did that. So, the sins that I did with Batsheva, which are really big sins, al tizkor li odotan, aval kechastecha zechor li otan. Remember them as a chesed, shayu otan shayu kishkagot nechshavim kafi midat chastecha v'lo kemidat basar v'dam. Sorry, this is actually the first. This is Reish Lakish. David is, according to this, requesting that they should be like a shkaga. Out of God's chesed, he should treat them like a shkaga. Now he says, and he's begging. That's very good for shkagos, but what about making them into merits, schios? So the Marsha says, I can't believe this. This is amazing that they can become kesigios. You're going to have that the sinner gains by sinning. The sinner can gain by sinning.
But it's only b'diavad. I mean,
yeah,
but in the end, b'diavad, you end up...
You can't sin and say, well, one day it's going to turn into schuyos.
That's later on. We'll see later on in the Gemara. It was in the Mishnah, and we'll see later on in the Gemara. You're right. That's echtev ashuv, right? But that's l'chorah not what's going on over here. In the end of the day, though...
Not echtev ashuv.
He's going to...
Echtev, and it'll become a schutzl.
Right, once I do tshuva, even. But over here,
but the problem
he's saying
is
in the end, it's going to...
The problem with that is once you echtav, v'ashuv, you don't know...
So if you took the risk, you should get the reward.
The risk.
But here, that's not what we're talking about. Here,
we're,
anyways,
about it in the Rambam.
It's true. Anyways, here we're not talking about that. Anyways, here we're talking about a person who sinned, and now he did tshuva, and all of a sudden, what, he gets to be better than Yankel, who's been sitting in the Beis Medrash his whole life. So he says, "Yeah, v'yesh lomer d'osa tshuva mi'ava." That's talking about osa tshuva mi'ava. K'demasik t'bahachi ayri. We know that's what it's talking about. Vaday de osa tshuva gemura umosif b'masaf hatovim yeter michdei atzorech. What it means is that in the end of the day, this guy doesn't just do tshuva; he goes even beyond the initial point. It's not talking about a person who simply did tshuva mi'ava, and therefore his mitzvah, his averus become mitzvahs automatically, and all of a sudden he leapfrogs everybody else. No, no, we're talking about somebody who did tshuva mi'ava, which means he shot put it himself past where he was initially, past zero. L'gabei oso avon, that particular avera, he repented for it so deeply that he went even past where a normal person would be if they hadn't even done it in the first place. And therefore, the new masim tovim, that it doesn't mean the original avera. It means that neto, in the end, he's going to end up higher because of his extra stringencies now that he knows what it was like to do the averos. So he's going to be extra strict and do even more. Perhaps, if we don't even have to talk about averos, let's say a person who didn't give tzedakah. Maybe many times he walked past poor people and didn't give tzedakah. And now he decided he's going to start giving tzedakah. He gives even more. So it becomes kizchus. Not the original avera, but now, going forward. The krod demaisi mochiach ken. He says, and this has to be what it is, because what's the pasuk? Ubeshuv rasha merishato ve'asa mishpat utzedakah aleihem chaya. Demashma mishpat utzedakah shehosif la'asot. See, here it doesn't say that the avera becomes mishpat utzedakah. It says he does tshuva, and now the mishpat utzedakah aleihem chaya, it's the new mishpat utzedakah. It's the new stuff. And he says, and by the way, this is what it means, the Gemara Brachos that says, Shabali tshuva, makam shabali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemur micholim la'amod. In the place where the bali tshuva stand. Why Rivka is greater than Yitzchak or something? That's why they couldn't be in the same place when they were davening? In different corners? Yeah. Interesting. So, so that's what that means. Which is alternative to Eitz Yosef. Eitz Yosef, right, he said that it was because your Yitzhahara is greater. So Marsha says, no, you're actually going to end up doing more Masim Tovim. By the way, this answers a different question a little bit. Something that we covered in the Rambam share. Rav Elchanan Wasserman asked the Chafetz Chaim a question, which is a great question on Tshuva. He said, you know, he pointed out that, not this Gemara, but a different one, describes something that's called Tohe Al HaRishonot, which means to regret the first ones. And what it's actually talking about is that, let's say somebody does a mitzvah. They gave tzedakah, right? You know, unfortunately, this sometimes happens, right? You give 10 shekel to tzedakah, right? Or let's say you give 5 shekel to tzedakah. And then you go to Shefa, Zol B'Shefa, and you want to take out a cart, and you reach into your pocket, and you realize, oh no, that was my last 5. Now I don't have a 5. I wish I had not given that to tzedakah. Oh boy. So the Gemara says, if you do that, if you regret a mitzvah, it gets taken from you. The mitzvah gets taken from you. It gets erased from your ledger. You lose the mitzvah. So Rav Chana Wasserman said to Chafetz Chaim, he says, how is that fair? Why is that fair? So the obvious answer is, it's just like tshuva. Tshuva is, you do an avera, and then you regret it, and you don't do it again. So the avera gets taken away. So too with a mitzvah, right? But he says, but that doesn't make sense, because tshuva is a chesed. Tshuva doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that it gets taken away from you. It's supposed to be a chesed. If tshuva is a chesed, that means it's you know, something great, something that God does for us as a favor. But the reverse of that is anti-chesed. There can't be anti-chesed.
But anyway, the mechanism doesn't work. Because if you do tshuva, you can't just regret what you've done. You've got to undo it. You've got to, you know, to do proper tshuva. The next time you're going to be in the same situation, you've got to not do it, right?
Well, in the end of the day, well, think about it. In the end of the day, if you did an avera, right? If you ate a cheeseburger, chamad netzan, right? You can never really physically undo that act.
No, but if you
but you regret.
Lucille Sharp points this out. You can't undo that act.
If you regret it in the sense that you regret giving tzedakah, I wouldn't think it's enough to...
Okay, Robbie, I went into your house last night and I smashed your Mac Air. But I regret it.
You better check
it. I really feel bad. I apologize. Do I owe you money?
Yeah.
Of course I owe you money. Why? Because it happened.
Yeah.
So why should the Avera go away just because I regretted it?
It's not saying, but neither should the...
But it does.
But neither should the mitzvah.
You're right. So, but the Avera does go away, even though it shouldn't. So the Mesil Shasharim says, Ruchal says, you're right, it should not go away. It's a chesed. Hashem created the world out of chesed. He added rachamim and chesed to the world. And that's why it works. But if that's why it works, it's called a chiddush, right? Whenever the Gemara has this concept, you know, when something makes sense, it makes sense and it should go both ways. But if something doesn't make sense, then it's a chiddush, in which case you can only treat it, you can only take it as far as it's explicitly taken. So we understand, tshuva is a chiddush, it's a chiddush of chesed that Hashem does a chesed for us. But how can you have the opposite of chesed? Hashem's not vindictive, He's merciful. How can that be? So one of the answers, I think what the Chafetz Chaim said, was that tshuva miyira, you're right. Tshuva miyira actually makes sense. Tshuva miyira makes sense. Tshuva says, apparently you can regret something, and that takes care of it in a spiritual sense. And so too, tohel arishonot. So too, the same way for regretting an avera, for regretting a mitzvah rather. That's not the chesed. That's not chesed. That's actually, that makes sense. You know, in a spiritual sense, that makes sense. So what's the chesed that Hashem does that Maseil Shasharim talks about? That's tshuva me'ahava. That's when Hashem takes an avera and He turns it into a mitzvah. Hashem doesn't do the opposite. Hashem doesn't take mitzvahs and turn them into averas. He may take your mitzvah away, but He doesn't turn it into an avera. But an avera, He can actually turn into a mitzvah. And that's the chiddush that Maseil Shasharim was talking about. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said. Rechon Wasserman had a different answer over there, but this Gemara could answer that question. Okay, let's continue with the Gemara. So, where were we? Gedola Tshuva, right. Four lines up from the wide lines. Gedola, Amar of Yor, a little before that, Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Gedola Tshuva Shema'arechet Shnotav Shel Adam, Shneamar U'Beshavu Rasha Marishato Yechiyeh. This is the same passage as before, it cut out some words. It says, Tshuva can elongate your life, can make it go a little bit longer. By getting rid of the chataim that you did and making sure that your life can last longer. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amri Maravava Mishpein De Rabba Bar Meri Bo Ure Shelo Kmidat Akadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar Vadam. God is not like man. Midas Basar Vadam Maknit Es Chaveiro Midvarim Sufik Mispaye Semenu Sufik Ein Mispaye Semenu. What makes sense? Sorry. Logically, what happens with people is that if you insult somebody, and then you go and you apologize to them, one of two things can happen. He can either say, well, actually, one of three things can happen. What's the first thing that can happen? He could say, yes. I don't forgive you. He also could say, I do forgive you. But that actually can be split into two. What could he say there? He could say, I do forgive you, but I think we're done. I think we're done. I don't really want to go to movies with you anymore. I don't want to go to dinner. Or he could say, I really forgive you, and we're back to being friends. So he says, but you don't know what's going to happen. Suffik mispayas, suffik ein mispayas. And by the way, the Gemara mentions bidvarim, right? Some of the Achronim point out that it's trying to make it even more extreme, meaning you didn't even do anything for him. You just went and apologized with words. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu adam over avera b'seisar, mispayas mimenu bidvarim. But a person violates an avera in secret, let's figure out why that's there, and then he just apologizes with words, shnemar, k'chu imachem dvarim. Just take words, v'shuvu el Hashem, and return to God. V'lo od ela shemachzik lo tova, and Hashem even. Not only does He say I forgive you, but He says I want to go to movies with you. I want to go to dinner with you. I want to hang out together. So He didn't just forgive; He also returns completely as a friend. Shneamar v'kach tov, says kach tov. V'lo od ela shemala alav kasov kilu hikriv parim. Not only that, it's the dvarim that you do. It's as though you brought a korban. Shneamar unishalma parim svasenu. Shema tomar parichova tamar lomar erpa mishuvasam ohavam nidava. You might think that this is obligatory korbanos, like these are korbanos that you had to bring. No, it's actually korbanos nidava, which is even better. It's even better than just an obligatory korban. It's not a korban chatas; it's a korban nidava. By the way, this unishalma parim svasenu. Where else is this quoted? This pasuk for bringing korbanos. So the Gemara in Kiddushin describes, I believe it's in Kiddushin, describes how Avram Avinu turned to God and asked Him, you know, what's going to happen to my children in the future? And I quoted this before, and Hashem said, you know, don't worry, there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. If they do anything wrong, they can bring Karbanos. But Avram said, but the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. What are they going to do then? So Hashem said, don't worry, they can recite Karbanos, and I'll treat it as though they brought the Karbanos themselves. Based on this pasuk, Unishalma Parim Svarsenu, we give Parim with our mouths. So when we say Karbanos in the morning, and when Sfaradim say them in the afternoon, that's actually, if you have kavana for it, it's like you're actually bringing a korban. I personally have the minhag to stand during korbanos. It's not required. I remember I saw it in the Aruch HaShulchan 10 years ago, that he said that it's a nice thing to stand, because you would stand when you're bringing korbanos. So I do it, but not everybody. Most people don't do that. I say korbanos, yeah. That's already a chiddush.
I was going to say, a lot of people don't say korbanos.
Catch up off the dozen.
Sure, that's what everybody does.
While standing.
On the train.
Tanya. Okay, so that's how much greater God is than people. The people, you don't even know if they're going to forgive you, but God, you actually are guaranteed. He promises you that he's going to forgive you. Tanya, what's that? What are they quoting now if it says Tanya?
Brisa.
A Brisa. How do you know?
One nun.
That's right. One nun. Two nuns is a Mishnah. One nun is a Brisa. That's the difference between Tnan and Tanya, between Masnisin and Tanya. Tanu Rabbanan is always going to be a Brisa. Yeah, is also going to be a Brisa because it's only one nun. Tanya.
What's a Mishnah?
Tnan, two nuns. Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer Gedola Tshuva Shebishvil Yachid Shasa Tshuva Mochlin L'Chol HaOlam Kulo. Amazing. One person does Tshuva and Hashem forgives the whole world. Shneimar Erpa Mishuvasam Ohavam Nedava Kishav Api Mimenu Mehem Lo Neamar Ela Mimenu. Hashem says, I'm going to forgive everybody because of him. One person. Hechidami Baal Tshuva. Right, this is, the Rambam quotes this as well. It's a famous part from the Rambam. People don't realize it comes from the Gemara. Hechidami Baal Tshuva. What is a Baal Tshuva? The Rambam adds over here the word Gemura, which helps. Tanya, Hechidami Baal Tshuva. Amar of Yehuda. Kegon Shebata Liyodo Dvar Avera Pam Rishona Vishnia Venitzal Hemena. You had an Avera that came to you the first time, then you did Tshuva, and then it happened the second time, and you didn't do it. Nitzal Hemena. You were saved from it. You saved yourself. And you didn't do it. Mechvi Rav Yehuda, Ba'osa Isha. Rav Yehuda said even more. Ba'osa Isha, Ba'osa Perek, Ba'osa Makom. You had an affair with a woman, and then you were in the same, you did Shuva, you were in the same place.
Same
Rambam
same
quotes
room,
this.
Same
it was, at the beginning, this. At the beginning, well, it's not quoting the Rambam. The Gemara's not quoting the Rambam. That would be a good trick.
A thousand years.
You missed the beginning where I mentioned that almost all of the things that we find in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva come from this Gemara and from the Gemaras on subsequent Daf. Yeah.
I've never known it came from the Gemara.
What? No, he didn't make it up. I told you. I think I mentioned it at the time. Everything comes from the Gemara and Psukim. He repackages it in a nice way that it all flows. So he says,
is it only for the question of
no, every Avera. No, it's just an example. Ba'osa Isha, Ba'osa Perek, Ba'osa Makom. With the same woman, in the same place, at the same time. Right? The Rambam elaborates on this to say, you know, if you were young when it happened, you're still young. If she was beautiful, she's still beautiful. If you were attracted to her, you're still attracted to her. It's in the same place. Why is that important? Because it atmosphere, same atmosphere, right?
I thought it meant to be them at the same time as in the morning or
no, I think it means in the same perek. It means the same general time period, so that it's similar enough.
10 years to do
tshuva,
they can't actually do
tshuva. No, right. So right. Remember what the Rambam said. That's why I said the Rambam adds that word in here because the Rambam says that's tshuva gemura, and he adds on afterwards and says, but of course, if you just do regular tshuva 10 years later, that's tshuva. It's just not tshuva gemura. Tshuva gemura, by definition, is a person who really did tshuva. In actuality. Now, the Rambam, of course, mentions that you can theoretically do tshuva gemura without being in the same position, which hopefully is what happens, by getting to the point where Hashem would say about you, Yodea Talumos, the knower of secrets, God would say about you that if you were put in the situation right now, you would withstand the test. And no, God is the only one who could say that. But if you can get yourself into a position where you have sufficiently done tshuva, that you could do that, then that would be considered also tshuva gemura. That's what people should do. What should people not do? So good. So the Rambam says Tshuva Gemura is you put yourself in the same situation. So some people took this out very literally. If you look at the sheet, turn the sheet. So this is from the drushes of the Chassam Sofer on Chanukah. This is an incredible Chassam Sofer. This is not Allah HaLamaisa. This is not try do it yourself at home. Tamiya Rabbal also a tzaddik. Who's also a tzaddik in this case? Yosef. Yosef a tzaddik. Ech nichnas biyuchadim isha b'shah she'en anshei b'isham. How did Yosef go home to the house of Potiphar when he knew that Ashes Potiphar was there and there was no one else there? Ukumedumeli, I think she ilulei ken lohemin potifar the ishto al Yosef hamuchsak beinav v'tzadik el shirami bigdo shebiada shal kopanim nisyachin yimashalokedat. The reason why Potiphar believed, Eshes Potiphar, that something had happened, because he never would have believed. If she had just said, you know, Yosef molested me, right, he would never believe her about that. But she had his clothing, which meant he was there. And in Potiphar's mind, the fact that he was there was bad enough, right? People tend to think, okay, Yichud is not a problem. Just don't do anything. No, Yichud itself is a problem. Yichud is an Avera, most likely Daraisa. It's not what you do there. Yichud itself is an Avera. So that's what Potiphar was thinking. So, and that's a good... And Potiphar's right. What was Yosef doing there? He believed her. I don't understand Yosef. Right, we say he went in to check on some figures, to do work. Well, he could have gone any other time. He could have waited for the next day. It was a special holiday. That's why nobody was home. Okay. There was something wrong with Yosef. Okay, we're going to avoid that. But then, if there was something wrong with Yosef, in other words, he wasn't so attracted to her, then what's the gedula there? Then there's nothing great about what Yosef did. Venerally, here's his theory. What did the Medrash mean that he wanted to check on his figures or on his cheshbonos? Sheratza lenasos atzmo v'lachshov im nafsho im hu tzadik gamur v'lo nichshal b'shum davar. He wanted to check himself. He wanted to give himself a nisayon. He went in there to see, can I withstand this test? You know, if he went in there and he wasn't attracted to her, even though he was a fully healthy heterosexual man, then it must mean that he's a tzaddik. If he could successfully withstand his temptation. That's how we know that Yosef is a tzaddik gamur. The implication from the Chazam Sofer is that this was almost laudatory behavior. You don't have to read it that way. That this was almost good, that Yosef was checking that he was a tzaddik. But is this something that we would recommend for anybody? No, we say every single morning. Don't bring me to a nisayon. Shouldn't bring me to a nisayon. There's a wild, another medrash that Rabbeinu Yonah quotes in Shari Tshuva. I haven't seen anybody quote this except for me, which made me think that I actually misremembered it, but I've looked it up a few times because I keep quoting it and I keep getting surprised every time I see it. Well, I mean, it's in Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva and it's Elul. So this is in YU, in the Musar Kolel, we learn Shari Tshuva and Elul. That's what we do. So that's how I saw it the first time. So it's their fault. He quotes a medrash that says that David HaMelech, after he sinned with Bathsheba, should we turn off the thing? It's nothing wrong. It's Torah. After he sinned with Bathsheba, he wanted to make sure that he had overcome. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to make sure that he had overcome that temptation to sin with a woman like that. So what did he do? He arranged for women to be paraded in front of him, in not dressed like Beis Yaakov girls. And he wanted to check that he wasn't tempted anymore. And they quote the Medrash quotes the pasuk. The one that says that he's like empty. I forget the pasuk in Tehillim.
That he wrote it back himself.
Yeah. Chalal. Libi chalal bekirbi. That's pasuk in Tehillim, right? Libi chalal bekirbi. That's the medrash that I feel that my heart is empty. In other words, I have no temptation for this anymore. So he tried to eradicate it by practicing, so to speak. Now, this is also not something that we recommend. It's a medrash. It's not something we recommend. One parish where you see that somebody actually suggests this, if you're in the Kli Yakar, or find me lunches in the next source. So that's what the Gemara means. It means that a place where a Baal Tshuva stands, where he's supposed to stand, a tzaddik can't stand. Why? Because it's an Avera. Because Yichud is an Avera. But for a Baal Tshuva, maybe harking back to the top of the page, where did the top of the page say? Gedol Tshuva, Sheh? that it matters even on Aveira. Now, that's not what the Gemara meant over there. But that's what the Kliyakar is suggesting. L'tzadik amar asur ha-yichud, ki asur la'avi nafsho b'nisayon, dim tzashi yichud, dahinu etzam etshuva, matame atahorim umetayar atmeyem, like the lashon of the Parah Aduma, which is where this is from, by the way. Parashas Bamidbar, Parashas Chukas. He says this is pshat in by the Parah Aduma. It's matame etzatara.
Because there's certainly some logic to this.
There is some logic to this, except for the fact that you're violating an Aveira.
But it's just...
So, like, because you're putting yourself into an Nisayon, is an Aveira?
No, you just did Yichud. You're right. In any other Aveira, this is potentially not a problem, right? If I eat cheeseburgers and then I walk into a McDonald's, that's not an Aveira. You're right. This particular example is problematic.
Right, one should try... Let's say somebody's going through a process of tshuva, and they get to a stage where they've stopped eating in treif restaurants.
Right.
And that's their keta, that's something,
right.
And they're chalishing for the
treif
sushi.
Right.
Should they go into the sushi restaurant, Erev Rosh Hashanah,
right.
And say, I'm walking out, and
right.
Then walk out? Is that something that they should do based on this Rabbeinu Yonah and this and Yosef?
So, I mean, I think it's more of a policy question, right? It's more of a Musar question. I could see both ways. In that case that you mentioned, obviously there's no explicit isser with anything like that. Obviously. Although, on the other hand, you know, the Gemara Sanhedrin says that a person who is involved in gambling, right? Particular kinds of gambling. There's bird races and bird races. That is one of the examples that the Gemara that mentioned Mavrichayonim, exactly. So that person is disqualified from being an aide, right? And they're considered what? Yeah, the gambling, yeah. That person is disqualified from being an aide. And the Gemara says, well, how can he make himself qualified again? So the Gemara says he has to do tshuva and he has to get rid of the paraphernalia. The Rav talks about this in the Sefer Ala Tshuva, he talks about this. You know, imagine doing tshuva for gambling, right? And you've still got poker chips on your table. He says, you haven't done tshuva. You felt bad, but you're this close to slipping right back in. So on the one hand, I would say, you know, a person is an alcoholic, should not go to a bar every night. Right? On the other hand, I could see an alcoholic who has been, you know, sober for many, many years saying to himself, you know, I want to go one time in a bar and not drink anything. I could see that. Whether it's recommended, I can't say. It's obviously not usser. The case that we're talking about is obviously usser, right? Yichud is usser. And that's, if you take a look at the Nachlas Yaakov, and by the same token,
part of a Tanich of Ripui,
yeah.
Very often.
Right.
Somebody takes himself back into the situation, yeah. So that it makes them stronger, so that they know I can deal with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it gives you closure. Absolutely. I totally...
The thing about tests is that it's a matter of degree, because everything we do from when we wake up in the morning is a test,
yeah.
One way or another. And
yeah.
If there's no test, what's the point?
Right.
If you're going to just not come across any tests ever, whether you put yourself into the situation intentionally for a test... the shame test or just because that's the way you live your life.
So I guess this is the question. The question is, let's say you're trying to do tshuva for an aveira. Should you be avoiding that situation or should you dafka put yourself into that situation in order to overcome it?
The question is really gratuitous testing.
That's even gratuitously. Should you put yourself into the situation gratuitously, even not in the context of it actually being an aveira, like in this case, should you put yourself into that situation gratuitously in order to make sure that you've overcome it, in order to inure yourself against it, kind of like what the Rabbeinu Yonah was talking about?
But then what? You know, then so what? So you proved it, so you tick the box? And...
Well, certainly you can then say, I know that I'm about tshuva gemura. Whereas in any other situation, you never really know, right?
Do you really know that? I mean, you could be in the same situation again, you won't pass the test.
You're right. It could happen. You know, the first time you're okay, and the next time you're not okay. You're
I've never been to Alcoholics Anonymous, but I would imagine that there isn't an Alcoholics Anonymous society which says, after a while, go and check yourself and go and sit in the bar and see whether you can overcome the temptation. I doubt that's a step plan,
like a tshuva thing, which is bit by bit.
It's very much like tshuva. It's a religious step. They're religious steps. All of them.
I wouldn't be surprised if getting right to the top involved. Going past a situation where you hold.
I don't think so because I think the whole premise is to avoid it. Mm-hmm. But like daily, it's like fighting Yetzer Hara every single day. You got a new battle.
I mean, there are
people who've been through it.
The Ramchal in Mesil Sesharim, he talks about tachbulos, that if a person wants to grow, they have to be smart. You don't fight the Yetzer Hara; you outthink him, so to speak. Which means, even not in the context of tshuva, but in the context of mitzvahs in general, you arrange your life in a way
that you will avoid pitfalls and you will be able to grow, which means not putting yourself into those situations. Of course, you know, many people's when guys go to yeshiva for the year, right? The biggest fear of the parents, American parents, is that they're not going to want to go to college when they come back, or something like, or they'll want to switch colleges into a more religious, let's say, college or something like that. And many parents are against that because they have a vision of the kind of education they want their kid to have. But some parents will justify that by saying, well, I want him to actually have to fight for his Judaism. Right? I want him to be in a situation in college where it will be difficult for him, and that's how he will grow. Right? Which, I hear. I hear. But on the other hand, you know, do you play with fire just for the sake of, you know, of inuring yourself against it? Maybe for some people it's better, for some people it's worse, but it doesn't seem like a great idea.
But I think the whole premise is problematic. First of all, I think those parents sometimes get a letter home saying, listen, I'm staying in Israel, going to the army.
They do.
But let's say you go and you pass the test, right? The David HaMelech, for example. So he's passed the test, right? He's got all the girls in front of him and he doesn't do anything. What does that mean? It means now he can go on the roof at night again and not worry about it?
Right.
Doesn't mean that.
I tell you, it just reminded me, I'll definitely use this at some point in shul. My best friend and I were here in yeshiva. One time we were sitting together and another guy came over and told us some Hasidic story about how a certain Rebbe was so holy, right? Maybe it's based on the Shari Tshuva, was so holy that he could walk in the street and stare at the undressed women and it didn't affect him because he was so holy and so spiritual. He stared at them, it didn't matter. So my friend and I were joking like, yeah, you know what they say about Rav Moshe Feinstein, that he used to eat chametz on Pesach and it didn't matter. Because he was so holy that it was okay.
That was the joke. That, you know, Moshe Feinstein was so holy.
I mean, the chavetz, and then said, Shlomo Zalman was so holy that he actually could kill people with his bare hands, and he would stayed with Shlomo Zalman. That was like a running joke about every time we heard these kind of stories. But yeah, it's very much like the Shabbos on this side and Shabbos on that side. Okay. So there's the Nachas Yaakov over here. So he talks about this, and the Noda Behuda of Yecheskel Landau also gives the same advice, where he says, "Lo chas v'sholem sheyisyachin imos ha'ish." It doesn't mean that he should actually have yichud with her. Ki chas v'sholem lahuta yichud abal tshuva. It's not a mutter for abal tshuva to have yichud. U'kamuskar b'sefer chasidim shepam achat. There's actually a story about this. Sefer chasidim says there was once horech chasid achad lachotesh lasos tshuva haniskaris ba'osom makom nichshal b'zeh. That a chasid was instructed to do tshuva and to go back to the place where he had first sinned and not do it, and it caused him to sin.
What about the Indian that you shouldn't remind the Baal Tshuva of their previous sins, and that this is part of the reminding the Baal Tshuva of previous sins, is that you don't want them to go back to
their sins. Makes a lot of sense. So he should, that wouldn't be a good idea. Right. Umitam de lav dina kamar, de lo hutar yichud lebali tshuva. It was the wrong thing to do because yichud is not mutter. Rak kavadas Rabbi Yehuda sheyashuv kolkach ad gedar sheilu haya bali yado chet kaseh. And that's what the Rambam really meant. That if you were to come into the situation, that's what you would do, but not to actually put yourself there. Lo yoseu v'zeu shekatzav the Rambam ad sheyad yoyid alav yodeh talumas, until God Himself would witness shaliyo shilazeh achot ekla, that you wouldn't go back to it. So he says v'tamu kulam alzeh halo abechir chafshit. Right. So he says, what does that mean? What does that mean? God would witness that you would never do the Avera? So what does that mean? You've removed your free will from doing the Avera? So what? The guy had an affair with a woman, so then he did tshuva so much that God Himself would declare that this man will never, ever have an affair again. So what does that mean? That means for this guy, Gilar Rayos is finished. He's done with that one. He's only got 612 mitzvos to worry about now. Because he's finished, right? Because God would say about him. Right, so does that mean that I have... No, so does that mean that I have no... So I think if God would say about me that I will never, ever eat a cheeseburger because He knows the future, so then that would kind of take a little bit of the, you know, of one of my mitzvahs away. But He would never say that. God would never say I would never because He doesn't, because, and this is the point that He's making.
Well, your free will.
It would destroy my free will. In other words, I wouldn't have any free will with regards to that, which we don't want to think. So what he suggests is all it means is that you go back to the original state.
whatever your original estate was. You know, even the Baal Tshuva. What you want for the Baal Tshuva is not necessarily to go all the way to the other side so that you would never do it, but rather at least just to get back to your original estate where you were kind of in the middle, wavering in between. That's what's desirable over here. That's all that's being requested. Because the point is that a person who's involved in chet, so he's kind of already off the edge. Your job is to just get back on the edge. Everything else is nice, but that's your job.
To be a Beinoni.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of your Yetzer, yeah, in a way. Not obviously to be a Beinoni in life, but to get at least back to where you can say, I'm like a child, like I could go either way. That's the goal. That's what it means when Yaida loved Yodea Talumos, that he's not going to backslide right away the next time he sees it. Because ultimately, by the way, ultimately, a person does Tshuva Gemara. Does that really mean he's never going to do it again? No. We all know. You sit there on Yom Kippur, you do Tshuva, and you really did. You really did. That doesn't mean that for the rest of your life you're never going to go back to it. So what does Tshuva Gemara mean? So what it means, very simple. It's what the Rambam says. It means that the state you are in right now is a state where if the Avera would come to you right now, you wouldn't do it. But it doesn't mean anything about it a year from now or 2 years from now, because things happen in life that change you. Your job is simply to get to the state where, at the moment, you're fine. Okay. Okay, so the next one is another line from the Rambam. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Rami, what's Rami? What does Rami mean?
Ask.
What kind of ask is Rami? Remember last time we talked about the four different kinds of questions, right? Rami is the same as Uriminhu. It's the same thing.
Contradiction.
Correct. What kind of contradiction?
Different level.
On the same level.
No, Uriminhu is the same level.
Rami is the same as Uriminhu. What's the difference between Uriminhu and Rami, by the way? This most people don't know. Uriminhu is almost always between, as far as I know, between two Torah Shabbat Peh sources, a Mishnah, a Braisa, and a Braisa. Here, Rami is always Rami Ksiv, which means he's actually going to point out a contradiction between two Psukim. Right? Rami Ksiv, contradiction between two Psukim. Ashrei Nisui Pesha, Kisui Chata, Uksiv Mechasep Shav, Lo Yatzliach. First Pasuk says that it's praiseworthy, a person who hides his sin, Kisui Chata. And the other Pasuk says, Mechasep Shav, Lo Yatzliach. If you hide your sin, you won't succeed. So which one is it? Is it good to hide your sin, or is it bad to hide your sin? Presumably, well, the context of the Gemara is talking about a person who does tshuva. Should he do tshuva privately or publicly? I don't know. One of them says, Asher Nishui Pesha, so you shouldn't. And the other one says, Mechasep Shav Leitzliach. If you try to hide it, you won't be successful. From everybody. Shouldn't you maybe get up in front of people and say, you know, I don't know, mechasep shav leyatzlich. I'll tell you one rationale for it. You know, if anybody's tried to stop a habit, right? You just think to yourself, you know, I'm going to stop eating donuts, right? So the chances of you actually keeping to that habit are actually quite low. If you tell your wife, I'm going to stop eating donuts, then your chances rise significantly.
Much higher.
Right?
And if your wife just tells you.
Isn't it like before and after tshuva? Like before tshuva, you shouldn't pretend it didn't happen. Once you've done it, then
that's
you
nice.
Try and nice idea.
It's not what the Gemara suggests, but it's nice. So the Gemara says, look, Kasha. And it gives you two answers, actually. Neither is Rabbi's, but I like it. Habachet mefursam, habachet she'enu mefursam. No, very simple. If your sin was well-known, was public, so then you have to do tshuva in public. But if your sin was private, then you have to do tshuva in private. By the way, this is very similar to kashrus, right? Kashrus, you have a concept of kibolo kach polto. When we boil, which kind of kalim do you have to boil, do hagala, in order to kashra them? And which kind do you have to use libun, fire?
Depends how they were treif.
Depends how you, exactly. Depends how they became treif. Depends how they, what you use them for, right? If it's a pot that you used for boiling water, so then you just have to do hagala. Yeah. If it is a frying pan, right, that's directly over the fire and doesn't really have liquid in it, then it needs libun. So also with sinning, if you did the sin in public, you have to do tshuva in public. If you did the sin in private, you only need to do it in private. Rav Zutra bar Tuvia Amar of Nachman, kan ba'avera shebein adam l'chavero, kan ba'avera shebein adam l'makom. He says, no. The difference is between ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'makom. If you did it ben adam l'chavero, then?
Public.
If you did it ben adam l'makom, then? Private. Why?
Because Because it's not relevant.
The phenomenon
of
is
not relevant to the
tibur.
It's between you and Hashem.
Could be.
Could be.
Is that true?
Yeah, you could.
What if you did it in public? What if you were Mechal Shabbos? By definition.
Then you maybe by keeping Shabbos, you're publicly showing that you've done. But you stand up and say, "I now keep Shabbos."
We're talking about doing tshuva. So how do you know you did tshuva for something, right?
Somebody was mechal al Shabbos. He was suggesting that they need to publicly come out and say.
No, private.
No,
I'm suggesting. I'm saying, why shouldn't a person who's mechal al Shabbos for Hesya have to come out and publicly, like? Which is what
using an example of how something between Ben Adam and Makom can be in public. It doesn't. I'm not saying whether to
be. Right, and alternatively, by the way.
No, not saying whether. Maybe not to whether the Chuvah should be. Just saying how can.
No, no, the situation is that the Chuvah has to be there
around. No, private.
No, it's that's
Ben
Adam and Makom.
We
said
Chavero
needs
to be there when you do the Chuvah. No, you do it publicly because the other part, the other.
Well, you're trying to answer why do you have to do Chuvah publicly when you do Ben Adam Chavero? Why?
Because the chavero is the, needs to be there in the process of the tshuva.
But you could do it personally with that one person, and then that's it. No,
that's what I meant when I said publicly. I think you need to stand, unless you embarrassed him in front of other people, then you need.
No,
to
I mean when they say publicly, they mean that the chavero is there. Not one.
Probably,
it doesn't mean that
it could
one
be
person will be 10 people.
The
fact that it's one person
chavero,
is public.
Benadonna chavero has the embarrassment aspect of involving another person.
Right.
So to do that in public, you're sharing with other people unrelated to this, with your victim, let's say. So maybe that's the one that should be in private, and the Ben Adam and Makom should be.
I'm not sure this is true.
So Rashi sees it actually in a much more utilitarian fashion. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Aver she Ben Adam lechavero yigalel rabim sheivakshu mimenu sheimcholo," because he wants to enlist everybody else's help in order to get the victim to forgive him. Right?
Is there an issue that?
Because what do you do, by the way? What do you do when you want to get the guy to forgive you? You bring people with you, right?
Yeah.
If he won't forgive you the first time, you bring people with you.
Right.
That's what you do.
Right. There's a connection between the victim and the sinner.
Are you mechuyav if you embarrass somebody in front of certain people to ask forgiveness from him in front of those people that you embarrass them in front of?
I don't know. I mean, Rashi doesn't make it sound like you have to. He just sounds like. It's a good idea because it will work, right? That's what. And by the way, lo yatzliach, right? Lo yatzliach doesn't sound like something wrong with it. It just sounds like it won't work. So this is good advice, almost. And by the way, Rashi, that's how he explains the previous ones as well. Bechet meforsam, Rashi says, tov lo sheyode v'yitbayesh v'lo yichbor bo. If it was in public, then you should do tshuva in public because then you will be embarrassed, and that's good for kapara. In other words, it helps you. Says if you make your sin public, then that's a. On the other hand, it can actually be a chilul Hashem because you're saying that one of Klal Yisrael did an avera. That's not good. So the question is, so who's right? So I actually brought it on the daf that we have. No, it's not the Shulchan Aruch. No, it's not on the sheet. Never mind. I'll just say it outside. There's actually a machlokas here. The Rambam sees these answers as exclusive. That if it is a... no, he doesn't see them as exclusive. He sees them both as correct. That if... No. Huh, sorry. He sees them as exclusive. That if you did a Chet Ben Adam L'Mach... They're exclusive, but both correct. If you did a Ben Adam L'Makom, you should do it in Farhasya. If you did Ben Adam L'Chavero, then you should do it in private. No, I'm sorry. He's an exclusive of that, and that's the correct one. Hold on. Let me actually find it so I can confirm. Here. It says, if you did Ben Adam L'Chavero, then you should definitely do it in public. But if you did it in private, then you should not do it in public. That's what he says. Sorry. If you did it Ben Adam L'Chavero, then it should be in public. But if you did it Ben Adam L'Makom, then it should not be in public. And that's all. That's all he says. In other words, he takes the second position. And he ignores the first. The Ravid sees them as both correct. He says, no. If you did Ben Adam L'Chavero, then for sure it's Befar Hesia. You have to do it in public. If he did it ben adam lamakom, then it depends. If it was a private sin, if it was done privately, then you should do privately. But if it was publicly, then you should do it publicly. He sees them both as correct. He accepts both positions. Whereas the Rambam only accepts the second position.
We don't do any tshuva in public, do we, in the sense of...
One time I was in YU and there was a guy who sometimes we have people from outside daven in the Beis Medrash in Gross in Yerushalayim, and somebody from Beit Vegan came in and he was in the middle of Shemona Esrei. His phone went off. Okay, that happens. Phone went off. I turned it off after Mincha. It was Mincha. After Mincha was over, he went to the front of the room and he was Natzel Fnei Kulam Shapelafon Shali Tzatzel. You know, it was ringing. I want to apologize to everybody. I bothered your davening, and also it was a lack of kavod shemayim. So he apologized, and like he gave a clap on the bimah.
I say mincha, there isn't a mincha. The phone doesn't go off.
Yeah.
Did he ask?
Look, it's not. It's not people's fault. They don't turn out their phone.
On Shabbat, it's pretty
rare. Yeah.
It's pretty rare. Thank you, Rabbi.
Why you on Shabbat?
It's only pretty rare.
Well, shachar to musaf on Shabbat is not necessary.
but we don't. There's no part of the sort of general Rosh Hashanah Kippur service that
Ben Adam Chavera, where everybody agrees that you should at least.
Chetz and whatever, that's really, I suppose that is, in Republic. But to actually stand up in public, I've never seen anybody stand up.
I've never seen anybody do something like that. In terms of apologizing to people, to other people, right? What did the rabbi do?
He asks forgiveness.
This sounds like it's halacha.
Shkoyach, everybody does that. I'm saying, Rabbi's talking about, like, let's say, getting up and saying, I did this. And I really feel bad about it. And I want to do tshuva. Whether it's better than Haver or better than Lacha. Have you ever seen anybody do that?
Yes, at a funeral. Every funeral.
Right, at a funeral. No, but even there. Even there, it's still the formalistic one. But you're right. That is, what is that? That is, the Rama mentions it. That's, you take 10 people to the grave and you apologize, right? That's famous, but still.
No, I'm talking about the funeral itself. All that we did was get lichvatcha, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, that's the kavod kedusha. It's the same thing, yeah.
But
again, that's also formalistic. Have you ever seen anybody do anything? I mean, in general, we don't do vidui on...
No, but we do. We all know that if we wronged a person, part of you've got to go up to them and you've got to make it right. You've got to apologize to the person. People do or don't do that, whatever. But this sounds like halakha that people are supposed to do. But I've never seen anybody stand up in public and say, I'm shouting at my kids and I hit one of them once. Yeah. people don't do it.
I remember in school that everybody did before Rosh Hashanah.
You went over to him and said, if I offended you, I apologize. Yeah, no, of course, that's what we do. It's a good thing to do. It's not, it doesn't necessarily work, but it's a good thing to do. I call it my parents every year and try to.
That's a tough one.
Be sincere.
That's a really tough one.
But even there, you don't say anything particular.
Look who's calling now.
That doesn't mean I'm nice.
Is it Rosh Hashanah again?
Okay. Call your in-laws as well. It's good to do that.
It says, I'm in my
tier on this palette, but I'm not calling you anyway. okay. The next thing, so that was actually just outside. This is a weird one. Amar of Nachman, that's what we just saw. Tanya, another brisa. Rabbi Yosi Rehuda Omer, Adam over Avera Pam Rishona Mochlin Lo. Shnia Mochlin Lo. Shlishis Mochlin Lo. Ravis in Mochlin Lo. Shnemar Komar Hashem Al Shlosha Pshei Yisrael Va'al Rabba'a Lo Hashivena. Right? This is one of those ones from the Rambam that we saw, and we were like, what? Where does this come from? Where is this about? Three strikes and you're out. Three strikes and you're still in, actually. This is four strikes. So this says, you got three strikes and nothing happens to you.
And then you chalota on all four.
Right. And then the fourth one, la shivenu, hen kol eli yifal el pamim, and then another pasuk, hen kol eli yifal el pamim shalosh im gever. This is that you get three shots, and then the fourth one, you're done. My ve'omer, why do you have to bring two pasukim? V'chitem anim ili b'tzibor av ab'yachid lo. So maybe you get three if you're a yachid, but you get four if you're maybe you get three if you're yachid, but if you're a tibor, but not if you're a yachid. Tashma hen kol elu yifaleh pa'amim shalosh im gever. That's even for an individual, and not only for a tibor. Now, what's going on over here? So, I should point out that first of all, every time I read the Rambam on this, right? The Rambam is pretty clear. The Rambam says about this line that what does it mean that you get three shots? And you can correct me if I'm reading this wrong. B'shash eshoklin avonos. When you evaluate a person's sins, well, not when I evaluate, when you evaluate, when God evaluates them, ein mechashven alav tchilas avon shechata b'lo v'lo sheni ele mishlishi ve'elach. You don't count the first or the second, but you count from the third. In nimsu avonos mishlishi ve'elach meru ben alzchi, and then you start counting. It sounds like from the Rambam that even if you didn't do tshuva, if you didn't avera once, twice, doesn't count. It doesn't affect you.
It's practice.
Right? It's practice, right? That's what it sounds like, right? A lot of the Rishonim read our Gemara differently, though, because the Gemara actually should be read differently. What does the Gemara actually say? What does the Gemara say? What are the words it uses? Over Avera, Pam Rishona, Mochlin Lo, which means
he's asked for forgiveness.
That he's done tshuva, and the point is that if you do an Avera once, and you do tshuva, Hashem forgives you. If you do it a second time, you do tshuva, Hashem forgives you. You do it a third time.
No, but he's not saying that he did tshuva.
I don't know.
The Rambam, exactly.
I don't know. I could see it being read otherwise. The Marsha reads it this way. The Marsha says, it seems like him to him a davar pasha. And now that I look at the Gemara, I also think mochlin lo means you did tshuva. Otherwise, why is he mochel you? Why is he mochel you if you didn't do tshuva?
No, but what is the Rambam saying? Rambam is also saying
no.
Shoklin lo, not from the Rishon the Shein. Shoklin lo is like.
That means he didn't do tshuva. That means it's still on his ledger. It means it's still there. When you're counting a person's averos, you don't count the first or the second. Only from and if the third time, then you start counting it, and you even count that. Well, so the Rambam doesn't read the Gemara that way. The Rambam reads that even if you didn't do tshuva, but the simple way to read the Gemara and the way that a lot of the Rishonim and Acharonim read it is that no, it's if you do tshuva, then you can get free very quick mechila for the first, second, and third. And then what happens though? Now how do you read the Gemara? So then what happens? So then, for the fourth, you don't get mechila?
It says Rabbi and Rabbi and mechila.
So what does that mean? You did tshuva and you don't get mechila?
But maybe if you read it with the fourth, it's that Pam Rishona Mochayim. So if he were to ask for forgiveness, then there would be mochayim.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not that he did.
Peseder. No, but certainly
he,
without
he did,
it.
He did the very first time and he got Mechila. He did a very second time and got
right.
Mechila.
He can get Mechila.
He did a very the third time and he got Mechila. Then he did it the fourth time. He wants to do tshuva and Hashem says to him, I don't believe you anymore.
Okay, yeah. Fine. That I can buy.
Right. He wasn't doing it right.
I think that's pshat. I think that's pshat in the Gemara that after the fourth time Hashem says, but what does that mean? That you can't do tshuva or simply it's going to be harder?
Maybe it's the conditions for the tshuva are more stringent.
Yeah.
Prove it and then bidiyavad, maybe I'll be more faithful.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just striking that it almost takes the option away.
What is the pasuk? The pasuk is from Amos, no?
Look on the bottom. Iyov. One of them is Iyov. The other one is Amos.
I think this
yeah.
is a regular right. case. I think this what? Is a case where somebody's like making a mockery of the process.
Yes.
Maybe.
I don't think it's someone who's genuinely
maybe.
Doing
I mean, it's,
and
it's in the spirit because the
slips again.
It's kind of a Echtev Ashuv type
like
of thing.
Like we were talking about earlier about why you can't go back to the same man after being married to someone else.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're making a mockery of the process,
right?
You know, then at some stage you got to stop making a mockery of the process.
Right.
There are people who find it difficult to rid themselves of problems, like particularly alcoholics or gamblers. After they've been to one and had their gamble, they went to Davar Mincha and they felt terrible and they said not going back. And then a week later they couldn't and they went again.
Right.
And I don't think it's talking about this. I think it's talking about people who are being
so,
disingenuous.
So actually, so the rush.
You're saying they're asking for children, they don't mean it?
Yeah. No,
because it says Michael in
there. Yeah,
so
but
obviously he meant it. Because if he didn't mean it, then he wouldn't be Michael.
So the Rush and others, actually the Ravid on the Rambam also, they say, no, you understand, remember, if you weren't in the Rambam, I'm sure you don't know, but there are different levels of during the year, before you can get kapara for certain averos. So let's say, for instance, very light averos, you do tshuva right away, you're leading to get mechila. A little bit more severe, you do tshuva right away, it's a good tshuva, but your kapara waits until Yom Kippur. Other averos, even Yom Kippur doesn't take care of them, you have to get yisurin, and then other averos, you have to even be killed. Right? Or you have to die, and then you get full kapara. So it could be that this is what it's talking about, that let's say you did a light avera, and then you did tshuva for it. Hashem gives you mechila. The same one again, the tshuva, Hashem gives you forgiveness. So maybe by the time it gets to the fourth one, so Hashem says, okay, now you have to wait for Yom Kippur. Or now you have to wait for Yisrael. Or now you have to wait for... Could be, that's what some of the Rishonim suggest, that's what it means over here. Not that the tshuva doesn't work, but that Hashem doesn't so quickly forgive you. You have to wait for a little bit more, a higher level of kapara.
Maybe the chiddush is yours, is that even if you're not sincere the first time, you get forgiven.
Nah. Why would you be forgiven if you're not sincere?
All right, I want to do one more piece, and then we have to daven Maariv. So the last piece that I wanted to do, we didn't get very far here, is a famous machlokes over here. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan means it's a brisa. Averus yisvad alein yom kippurim zeh lo yisvad alein yom kippurim acher. Averus that you did already vidui for them this Yom Kippur, next year, don't mention them. Vim shana behen. Sorry, this one. But if you repeat them, then you have to do vidui again, as it says. Yom Kippur Im Yishana Behen Tzarech Lisvad Yom Kippur Macher Vim Lo Shana Behen V'Chaz V'Yisvad. So what if you do? What if you didn't do it again, but you did it in your vidui again the next year? Alein Alav Akasu V'Omer Kekelev Shav El Ki'o K'sil Shoneh B'Yvalto. You're like a dog returning to its vomit. You keep mentioning it. Why do you keep bringing it up? Literally.
Dr. Marshall.
Why do you keep bringing it up? It's not relevant anymore. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, however, says, "Kol shekein shu meshubach." No, hareza meshubach. It's kol marbe. Right? It's even better that you bring it up every single year. Shneimar, David says, "Kip sha'ay ne'eda v'chatati negdi tamid," because my sin is always in front of me, even after I've done tshuva for it.
Is that what the meaning of kol nidre? The tefillah of kol nidre.
In what sense?
In the sense that it's like you're finishing one year to the next, and like it's like you're only looking and you're focused on the.
Of previous moments before that. Could be. So then he goes, Elamani Mekayim Kekelev Shavik Okio. So what does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov do with the dog pasuk? K'davuna damarvuna kevin shavar adam avir v'shana bahutrulo hutrulo salkadeitach ala'im anasis lo keheter. So he says, no, that's talking about a dog who keeps going back to his sin. It's like a person keeps going, sorry, a dog keeps going back to his vomit. A person who keeps going back to his sin, it's like it became mutter to him. So then the Gemara says, what, it's mutter? So, no, it's like it's mutter, because it feels like it's mutter, because he keeps doing it, because once he's done it once. Now, what's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch I just brought on the bottom over here, who do you pass like, or Elazar ben Yaakov, or the Rabbanan? Should a person go back and say it again? So the answer is yes. The answer is, should a person go back and do vidui for averus that he did the previous year that he didn't return to? So the answer is, the question is, who's right? And the answer is yes. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Avono shizvada aleim b'yom kippurim shavar, v'lo shina aleim, afilu hachi, yachol lachzor lizvada aleim. So on the one hand, it's not a mitzvah to do it, but you can't. So on the one hand, you could say that he paskins clearly like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because it's not like going back to your vomit, because you're allowed to do it. On the other hand, he doesn't say it's a good thing. Chatati negdi tamid. You don't have to do it. So the answer is that you can do it, and it seems like it would be a good, a praiseworthy thing. Shkoyach, shkoyach.
No.